Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on in to the Brass Ring Media Network. This is Spotlight for Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. How's it going? My name is Zach Haydorn. Excited to be here. Glad that you are here too. Boy, we are on the... I don't want to be like all WWE speak here, but WrestleMania right around the corner, about 10 days until kind of the big weekend of the whole year. Lots going on, lots to get to, and, you know, a really strong batch of material for this week on our Spotlight show here. So really pumped to be here. Zach, already in the chat, giving me a hard time about how I spell my name. See, he spells it with a C-H. I got, as you can tell right here, the C-K. Interestingly enough, Zach, my full name, you know, on the birth certificate is Zachary. That I spell with an H. Color you crazy, right? Call me crazy. But thank you, Zach, for being here. Thanks to everybody else who's here watching and listening live. This is Spotlight. And what we do on this show is we take a step back from like the multiple topic analysis and we dive inward. Deep analysis, deep discussion on one specific topic, and we try to analyze that topic backwards and forwards and from every different angle to get, you know, a well-rounded show on some of the biggest items current event-wise in professional wrestling. So that is what we are going to do today. If you missed yesterday's flagship show with Tyler and I, we were on the air here for almost 2 hours. We had some really awesome audience participation, some really great super chats. That was on our flagship show, which we air twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yesterday, we really broke down a lot of Monday Night Raw and talked about Cody Rhodes. We talked about The Rock. We talked about WrestleMania, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, the angle with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. We talked about that. We even previewed tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite a little bit. So if you missed that, head to our YouTube channel. Check it out. I think you'll really like the show. You can also download that as an audio podcast if you want to. Wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. And if YouTube isn't your thing, you can definitely go ahead and do that. While we're doing some plugs here, just want to let you know, subscribe to this channel. We are live on the Brass Ring Media YouTube channel 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, twice on Thursday, with brand new live shows in which you can interact with. You can call in, or you can't call in yet, wink, wink, but you can get in the live chat. You can send us super chats. So if you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button so you know when we're live. We also post a host of other videos throughout the week, including last week where we did a exclusive interview with TNA World Champion Moose. That was a cool interview to do. Moose was really open about all sorts of different topics, but the key ones are and were being TNA World Champion during a time of transition, not just impact to TNA, but also with some of the leadership changes that they had with Scott D'Amore leaving the company and the responsibility that Moose felt and feels as a world champion. And then he also talked about all the newcomers that have hit Impact Wrestling with Nick Nemeth and Mustafa Ali, and the list goes on. So highly recommend you guys check that out. And again, hit subscribe on the channel so you don't miss any of that stuff. I think you'll really enjoy it. We also have written content that goes up daily on our Brass Ring Media Substack newsletter. It's daily. You can subscribe for free. Just search Brass Ring Media Substack, and you can go ahead and get all the updates, get all the show reviews that we do, all the feature stories that we do, all the written interviews that we do. It's all there. All you got to do is subscribe. And you can get access to that. Now, you're sitting there and you're going, man, I'm already subscribed on YouTube. Check. I'm already a member on Substack. Check. But I love what these guys are doing at Brass Ring Media. I need more. We hope you become a member. That is where, you know, all the fancy the fancy content lives. If you become a member, it's only $4. And for membership, you get a brand new member-only podcast once a week from Tyler Sage and myself. You get access to all of our PLE and pay-per-view review shows. That is there for you, and we'll obviously have lots of those coming up next week with NXT, both nights of WrestleMania, indie shows, you know, over WrestleMania weekend that we'll be checking out. I'll be live on site in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend, so I'll have I'll have all sorts of coverage throughout the weekend there on all of our channels for our members, and so you don't want to miss that. So sign up, give us a shot. It's $4 a month. I think you get your fair share of value, and we'll make sure to earn your business week in and week out, month in and month out. So go to Patreon right now and get that done. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. Cool. Hello to everybody who's in our live chat. Zach, Azan, Tracy. Thank you guys so much for being here. And thanks to everybody else who's listening live right now and joining us on the show, either here on YouTube or on Twitter. Thank you for being here. So as I mentioned, Spotlight is a show that is a deep dive into specific current events in pro wrestling. And to this point, we've really spotlighted wrestlers on this show since it's debuted. I mean, we did a full deep dive spotlight episode on Sting ahead of his retirement. We did one on Roman Reigns to kind of kick off the show. So we've done a lot of like deep dive spotlights, shining the bright light on stars. Today, I wanted to change that up a little bit, and I wanted to make it more of a specific happening, a specific current event in pro wrestling that happened. And I chose the interaction between Cody and The Rock from this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. Now, we're going to approach this differently than we did yesterday on the flagship. Yesterday, we talked a lot about, you know, the impact of that. Was Rock, how did he play his role? How did Cody play his? Was it good for The Rock to be the guy to do this and not Roman Reigns? I mean, we debated that and discussed that and analyzed those talking points yesterday on the show. So definitely go back and check that out. Today, though, I wanted to talk more about the actual execution of Cody and Rock specifically and the two segments that they had with each other on Raw. I think I have a unique perspective on this go around because I was in the building and I got to see it on tape afterwards when I got home. I finally have rewatched those segments on the show. And I got to say, I almost pulled the trigger and did the show on Punk, Drew, and Seth, because that segment played back so nicely on television. And again, I saw it from the stands, you know, and I was high up in that second level, as I talked about on the show yesterday, kind of watching it. And you couldn't, I mean, it was just too far away. You couldn't get a sense of facial expressions and how those guys reacted to each other in the moment. But you did get that when you watched it on television. And so that segment hit even bigger for me as far as like being one of the best things on the show this week. But alas, I'm going with Cody. I'm going with The Rock. They're going to be in the main events of WrestleMania, so I wanted to stay there. So that is what the spotlight is on. Spotlight beaming right now on Cody, Rock, and Raw. I'm going to throw out a question to the live chat, and if you feel like dropping a super chat today, we certainly would appreciate it. It helps us keep putting this content out on a week to week basis. Any contribution helps, and thank you guys in advance for doing that. But the live chat is open as well. So my question to you is, who was more artful when during the beatdown segment? Was it Cody or was it Rock? Like, who was the better performer in that position? I mean, because look, obviously Rock is a focal point, right? Like, Rock is a focal point of it because he's the one doing the attack. So he has to carry, you know, the segment in a big way. But in watching it back, Cody like bears responsibility for that segment being what it was too. And not in the same way as The Rock, because obviously all he did was get his butt kicked for a good 6 minutes. But I look at how he sells. I look at, you know, I don't think it's an accident that Cody was tossed into the side of that truck shoulder first over and over and over again. And it just so happened to be, you know, the shoulder that was injured and that had surgery, you know, or the pec, that side of his body. Like, I thought he played that up really well. So maybe it's an easy question for you. Maybe there isn't much of a debate for you, but I do want to toss that out to the audience right now to talk about who it was you thought had the better performance in terms of execution specifically. We'll get to that attack in greater detail here in a second. But the first interaction that the two of them had was in the ring, unexpectedly, surprise appearance from The Rock. And so I want to start there, and I want to start with Cody as far as that goes, because Cody up to that point cut a really what I thought was a strong promo. Now, we debated the merits of that opinion yesterday on the flagship show, so you can go back and check that out, of course. But I still think that he made his case as to why you want to get on his side, why you want to invest in him at WrestleMania, why you want to, you know, like, come with me, Cody said. Come with me on this journey. If I'm pointing at the WrestleMania side, you're pointing at the WrestleMania sign too, right? Like, that was all key. And so then The Rock comes out. And in watching it back, again, I couldn't see the facial expressions of Cody, you know, when I was in the building. But in watching it back, Cody, I thought he really hit, like, his reaction to Rock coming out was perfect. It's a small thing. It's a small thing, but he wasn't like overly comedic about it. He didn't like roll his eyes. He didn't dismiss The Rock, you know, in terms of the surprise presence. He wasn't overly infatuated with it either. Like, oh my God, Rock's here. Holy cow. This is going to be this big, big moment. And he takes off the vest, like nothing like that. I thought he reacted in a really nuanced way. And if you go back and watch, you know, there's a little frustration in it. There's a little aggressiveness in how he responded. There's also a little worry there too. Like, oh man, like it's Rock. Like, am I ready for this? Which means there's a little doubt in that reaction too. And he didn't do a lot, but that was what I picked up. That was my sense in terms of watching Cody react to that, to The Rock's surprise. And from a production standpoint, like they caught it, you know, they caught it. They didn't miss that initial Cody Rhodes reaction. They and I think that's important, because when you call somebody the final boss, like they call The Rock, you have to, like, you know, it's like if we want to use like Thanos as an example, because when I think final boss, I think Thanos, kind of, and I think the Marvel movies, I think of Infinity War, and I think of Endgame, and I think of Thanos as like this ultimate final boss villain. And, you know, it just sounds, it's so weird to make this comparison. But man, when you watch the Avengers like react to him, like there is all of those things in it. There's anger, there's aggressiveness, there's the idea that you can get the sense that there's an emotion there that wants to fight this guy, but there's also fear. There's also doubt. There's also, you know, you just being uncertain and unsure of oneself. Like that's there too. And so Cody put over The Rock so good in that moment. And so good with that reaction by not doing too much. I thought he was able to really strike that tone, in a positive way and in a strong way. And it set the table for the next element to this promo. I guess you could call it a promo segment, I guess might be the better word, because then The Rock comes out. And yesterday, Tyler clued me in on the shot that they got with The Rock, you know, walking out and how they shot it. And man, like it was beautiful. I mean, it just was absolutely beautiful, mesmerizing. Like they got the big, like wide, kind of the wide angle. Cody's in the ring. The lightning bolts are behind The Rock. It's dark. And then they hit the hit the spotlight. Lightning Bolt's still going, and then Rock comes out almost as if he appears from nowhere, right? And he, you know, does his slow saunter, you know, out to the stage and then down to the ring. What a piece of production there. I mean, for so long, guys, for so long, we had the same production over and over and over again. And by so long, I mean decades and decades of the same presentation over and over. And, you know, it was stale like 15 years ago, maybe even more than that. It's so nice to have, you know, kind of somebody backstage in Paul Levesque and the other producers of the show that are willing and able to kind of create new shots like they did here with The Rock. I don't think they're going to hit on all of them, right? And I don't think you can do this kind of shot for everybody. You know, you don't want Chad Gable to walk out. Like, I feel like I'm picking on Chad Gable lately. Let's pick somebody else. Chelsea Green. I like her a lot, but you know, she's not getting a special kind of entrance anytime soon. So you can't do it for everybody. But when it makes sense to change it up, man, it's supremely effective. And Rock got that treatment this week and made the most of it. Now, as for Rock and how he reacted to Cody, you know, a totally different dynamic. Like artistically, it's just a different dynamic there because Rock is Rock. You know, he is the final boss. That's the part that he's playing. So you don't like he can't sell for Cody in that regard, at least not yet. At least not yet. Like he's got to come across as more arrogant, more confident, like a bigger star, like he's going to throw his weight around, almost a little bit dismissive at the same time. That's the way that dynamic has to be at this point, because during that show, like the whole point, you know, looking back, is that they're working to build the mountain for Cody to climb at WrestleMania, and part of that is making The Rock feel like just the final boss, like an impossible guy to defeat. That's the key. That's the goal. So that when Cody does do it, it's a really, really big deal. And again, and Rock's perfect at that, you know, for when he wants to be. He's also obnoxious about it when he wants to be, you know, like when he's doing Memphis concerts and talking about how he loves Memphis and he loves the fans, like that's not helping, you know, the narrative for Cody, and that's not helping the narrative for The Rock. On this night, you didn't get that with their initial stare down and their initial reaction. You got clear heel, clear baby face. That's what The Rock was trying to do. And he did turn them by the end. So the segment goes on and they finally get in the ring together and they have the stare down. This like Rock, I feel like at this point, like Rock is like just known for this. Like you think back, this reminded me of Hogan and Rock when they first went face to face, which, by the way, fun fact, happened in the same building. And I was there the night that went down. You know, the time where they like stared each other down, Hogan and Rock, and then they each like turned one way to acknowledge the crowd, and then they switched and each turned a different way. This was kind of like that, but you know, not Hogan, of course. It was Cody instead. But they milked it. You know, Rock really took his time and soaked in the reaction. Like he gave the moment time to breathe. You know, like sometimes in WWE, you know, you pivot too quick, right? Like you go, because you have a 3-hour show, you're trying to fit a lot in, and you go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next thing. AEW does the same thing too. But some moments need time to linger. They need time to sell themselves. They need time to shine. And so I'm glad, or it was a smart artistic choice, let's put it that way, for Rock to kind of enter that ring and just wait it out. Like, wait, give the audience time to react. Give the audience time to soak everything up. Give the audience time to recognize the moment for what it is, which was a, you know, a major showdown between two of the biggest pro wrestling stars on the planet, right? Like, you got to let that moment breathe so it has, frankly, so it has the impact that you want it to have. And, you know, if you speed through that, it's a small thing that you lose. You just kind of lose, you know, that emphasis. You lose the exclamation point at the back end of it. You lose being able to shine, you know, the spotlight, so to speak, on that interaction if you speed on through it. So you have to let it linger. You have to let it sell itself. And they did. From there, you get Rock walking up to Cody. You get the true face-to-face. That was fine. And again, same analysis applies, right? Same analysis applies because you got to let that linger too. And then Rock says what he says to Cody under his breath, off mic, backs away, crowd boos mercilessly, and Rock goes away. Once again, watch this segment back. Watch how slow Rock is moving through this. Like, he is just moving like he's stuck in the mud, but in a good way. Again, in a way that sells, in a way that lets the audience react, lets them participate, lets them invest. You got to give the audience time to do that sometimes. And this was the right moment to do that. Segment wraps up. So a lot of things could have derailed that moment from an execution standpoint, right? The first one being, if Rock decided, that pop was great, because it was. Inside the building, man, you could feel the rafters shaking. Like, people were surprised. People were excited to see the Rock until he started healing on them. And then they played along. But if the Rock, like, pivots and the Rock, like, goes for, like, whatever. If he slaps hands on the way to the ring, or, you know, he smiles at the audience, or, God forbid, you know, he picks up a mic and talks about how much he loves Chicago. Like, that would have derailed the momentum and the psychology of what they were trying to do out there, which seems obvious to say. Like, you're probably sitting there, if you're listening to me live right now, you're probably sitting there going, Zach, like, duh. But Rock's done it before, folks. Like, he has. Like, he has undercut stories like that before in an effort to be cool and be a big star and, like, have, like, fun little engaging moments with his fans and with the audience. So you couldn't totally put it past him to do that. He didn't. He stayed the course. He was there to do business, and he did business. And the execution made for this really kind of tense, dramatic moment between two top stars that resonated, and that furthered the narrative. Let me get to a couple chats here. We want to start with Zach, who's a super chatter. And thank you, Zach, who's also a Brass Ring Media member, folks. So be like Zach with a CH, and check us out. Become a member, patreon.com/brassringmedia. We'd love to have you, and we'll make sure to earn your business, no question. Zach says, Zach with a CK, Seth and Cody are absolutely losing on night one. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I have not made any official predictions yet, because we still need to see what's going to happen with Roman. But I don't think they're absolutely losing. I think that's likely, Zach. I think that's a good, a very strong possibility that they lose. But Cody's still overcoming, you know, the big bad guys, right? Once he wins that title, and if he wins that title on night two, you know, everything that I just mentioned about The Rock and the final boss and, you know, Thanos. There was a Thanos reference on this show. Who would have thought? Usually I use Darth Vader as my superhero. He's not really a superhero, but as my movie comparison example, my movie subject for comparisons is usually Star Wars. But, you know, that still matters. It still plays. It's like, you know, if they lose on night one and Cody goes into night two and it's a Bloodline rules match, it's kind of like, you know, all the Avengers coming to his aid night two to defeat the Bloodline, right? And to defeat Roman Reigns and, you know, by proxy, The Rock. So, to me, the arc and the art and the purpose of everything that we just talked about still stands, even if they do lose on night one. And thank you, Zach. I appreciate the contribution to the show. Always great to hear from you. Always glad you're here watching. So we've got Derek in the chat, and thank you, Derek. I don't know if you're a new listener to the show, but certainly a new chatter. And hope you come back. Hope you're here for our other live shows. It's really great to have you. But Derek mentioned here in the chat about Cody looking uncomfortable and not sure what to do, you know, as he was staring with The Rock. Like, I'm sure he wasn't. It was an act. Like, that was him working, you know? And so you're right to call that out, Derek. You're right to call that like a great artistic moment for him, because it was. It really, really was. Thank you, Derek. Once again, appreciate you. Glad you're listening live, and definitely come back. We're live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all sorts of different times. You can find our schedule on our Twitter page, right there pinned to the top of our feed, brassring_media on Twitter. Follow us for all sorts of updates and, you know, live tweeting during shows and cool stuff like that. But thank you, Derek. Thank you, Zach. And Zach's got another one here, too. And a pretty fun question. Pretty fun question. What are the odds Jacob Fatu or Tama Tonga show up on night two to cost Cody after the rest of the Bloodline is dispatched? Slim to none, Zach. Slim to none. I mean, never say never, right? You've learned that in this business right at the beginning. So never say never, but man, I don't think there's good odds of that. That's way, way too big of a moment for either one of those guys to debut. If it happens and Fatu and Tonga do show up and they cost Cody, like, those are like, that's like, you're immediately creating like a top tier main event act in WWE. If either one of those guys does that, like, it has to, you know, interfering like that, you know, in the main event of WrestleMania as a surprise, like, that's one of the best debuts you could ask for if you're Jacob Fatu or Tama Tonga. So I just don't know that WWE wants to debut anybody with that kind of fanfare at this point, because it's so big. And it just would be, gosh, I mean, it would just be such a cop-out, you know, once again, Roman winning that way. You know, I've made the argument that it's okay for him to win that way up until this point. You know, I think this is where you really have to do that job to Cody. So I would avoid debuting them at that moment, because if they do and Cody still wins, well, then, you know, they're the exact opposite. They're not really anything. Like, they both, you know, tried to cheat on behalf of Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and The Rock, and they couldn't get it done. So it's like, man, you're immediately positioning yourself as up. Hey, everybody, I'm a mid card guy. You know, I can't even, you know, I can't illegally even help my other members of my faction, you know? So, but ultimately, I just wouldn't do it. I just think it's really muddy that way. This needs to be about Cody. It needs to be about Roman. It needs to be about The Rock. It needs to be about the Bloodline. And the Bloodline as it stands right now. And I think, you know, Fatu and Tonga just don't add enough at this point in time to make that worthwhile. But thank you. Thank you. And Zach says also in the live chat here, there are so many Bloodline members that Reigns could hold the title forever. Also true. Also true. You know, you, like, if you wanted to do that kind of finish where, you know, and they've done it a lot. I mean, they've done it a lot with Roman Reigns the last nearly 4 years. You could keep doing it if you wanted to in terms of interference finishes and shenanigan finishes. But I don't think you're going to get that at WrestleMania 40. We'll do our free WrestleMania, our full WrestleMania 40 preview next week on our two flagship shows. We'll do half of it on Tuesday, the other half on Thursday. And that way you guys will have a full WrestleMania preview to get you into the week. We'll also do probably an NXT Stand and Deliver preview on our member only show next week. So keep a lookout for that. Become a member so you can check that out. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. Okay, let's get that spotlight shine back on Cody Rhodes and The Rock, because at the end of the show, and thank you, Zach, for your super chats, super appreciate them. But I'm ching, see what I did there? So at the end of the show, you had Jey Uso taking on Shinsuke Nakamura for in a grudge match, you know, just in a main event, a Raw main event. Jey gets the win. But before the match ends, Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso run out to try to interfere. Drew McIntyre runs out. Cody and Seth both run out to make the save. Drew ends up mixing it up with Seth Rollins, who had mixed it up with Solo Sikoa. Cody Rhodes and Jimmy Uso battle to the backstage area. And their brawl ensues backstage. Solo Sikoa tries to get in on the action. But Cody ends up defending his turf. He beats up both Jimmy. He beats up Solo. But then is hit from behind by The Rock. And in the building, you felt it coming. I don't know what it felt like when you watched it live at home. But you could sense that, like, okay, they're going back there. Why, you know, what could be the reason they're going back there? Oh, okay, maybe they're going to do some crazy spot that they pre-taped earlier in the night. And they need to get to the backstage area to do that. That was one thing that crossed my mind. And then the other thing was, oh, wait, Rock's still here. This is going to be, you know, enticing to watch. And sure enough, there he was. And that's when the work starts. Rock was great. Rock was great during the whole attack. I mean, I loved how Rock, once again, Rock didn't rush anything. You know, he attacked Cody, a couple punches to the back and to the neck. Cody falls down on the ground, and then Rock just kind of slowly does like the arrogant heel Rock walk over to him. There's no sense of urgency, fully confident, fully in control, very final boss, like good art, you know, art that connects the character with the situation with the character, spot on in terms of like how you just want to move. If you're The Rock, you don't want to be like all intense and all aggressive and all, you know, like a fighting babyface would be. You want to counter that. You want to counter that so that when it looks like Cody's starting to fight back, you know, there's a difference there. And it's not like you're watching, you know, two parallel guys do the same thing. Like this was Rock was acting like, you know, he was stalking his prey that was weakened and kind of like playing with it and torturing it. That was what he was going for. And it came across beautifully. He throws Rock into stage equipment. And then he picks up, oh my God, he picks up a trash can, a metal trash can. And you're not supposed to hit guys in the head in WWE, chairs or otherwise. Not supposed to happen, but it's The Rock. So The Rock does what Rock wants to do, clocks Cody Rhodes right over the head with that thing, pulls out some tools. And apparently, I didn't notice this when I was watching it in the building because the screen was smaller than usual, of course. But when I watched it back, I noticed what everybody else was talking about, which is Rock dumped all these like heavy metal tools on Cody's legs. And I noticed what everybody else did was like, man, did that hit Cody's knee? Like, oh, no. Like, worst case scenario right there. Luckily, you know. No reports indicated that he was hurt by that, but it was a moment where I'm like, ooh, that could not have felt good. He gets thrown into another guardrail, and then they move things outside. And you're welcome, WWE, because the art of this segment skyrocketed the minute they went outside because, man, it's raining. And it's not just like drizzling. It's pouring rain, and it's cold, and it's windy, and it's just gross. It's just nasty. But it made for like such a cool environment, like to do this attack in. It just, something felt so much more real, so much more believable about it. As Derek mentioned here in the live chat, the environment was the secret sauce. Yeah. Like that mattered. Like that rain mattered. I mean, can anybody even think of a time where WWE has shot something outside in like legit shoot rain? I can't. Can't tell you when the I can't, who knows? I don't know. I don't know if it's ever happened. So this was a really cool, really cool moment. The Rock, you know, I think you understand now when The Rock's doing a segment like this, why he got to where he got to. He has such good instincts when he's on camera. The way he maneuvered that cameraman, you know, catch this, catch that. He's made sure to frame the shot of Pharaoh, on the side of the truck. He caught, they shot in the background, and this is leading to a lot of rumors. You know, the John Cena and Steve Austin were pictured in the background of the attack. Is that an accident? I would say yes, but you never know. You know, so a lot of what Triple H puts in the backgrounds of the, of his shots during these angles aren't an accident, i.e. Drew McIntyre and Paul Heyman talking behind, you know, the featured promo this week with New Day. And so that was a little Easter egg. They didn't overtly call it out, but it was definitely there. So it was just so artful. And The Rock is so calm, just grabs the camera, moves it, keeps it on him. They zoomed way, way in on The Rock's face. They zoomed way, way in on Cody's face. They got the blood coming down. Really well done. Just really well done. A strong, just a strong presentation all the way through. Cody, man, sold his butt off. You know, the tax only as good as how well it's sold on both ends. And Rock obviously did his part, but Cody has to sell it too. And that guy looked hurt. He looked desperate. He looked like a guy that had just been, you know, just defeated, mentally, of course, or physically, of course, but mentally too. Like, man, I mean, it all was there. And then they pivot to like the final kind of shot, the final moment where Rock takes the belt off, takes his little weight belt off that he has on. It's Mama Rhodes on it. It's white, you know, again, smart art, goes perfectly to highlight red blood that you're about to put on it. So smart call, of course. And I was thinking when it was happening live, man, he's gonna rub that belt on his face. Like, oh my God, that's terrible. But first, no, he smears his own hand in it and then rubs the blood on the belt. And there's something more twisted there for me. Like, I'm like, okay, normal kind of bad guy just, you know, mops up the blood with that belt. But no, like, Rock showed that he's on another maniacal level. Like, it's just like another bad guy level. He wants to touch the Rock's blood and put it on the belt with his mother's name on it. Like, just, it's small nuanced stuff, but I think it's stuff that really matters in the end. I think that segment is better because of the artistic choice that Rock made. Like, no, like, I'm gonna smear it with my hand first, and then I'm gonna put it on that belt. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant moment. Again, adds impact. Not a make or break. But usually, like, the small artistic nuances aren't, you know, and they just kind of help added together. Like, one of these things, you know, happening, okay, nothing to it. But you add enough of them together, and now you have like a bigger impact, you know, a bigger artistic impact in a positive way. So smart work from Rock there to involve the blood in that way. Lastly, the blood. Perfect time to use it, folks. You gotta wait, and you gotta be judicious in terms of when you put that out there and when you put the blood out there to use. This would not have worked as well if other people are bleeding on the show or other people are bleeding, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago even. Like, this clicked execution-wise because it mattered. It meant something. You know, it was more of a dark beatdown by The Rock because the blood was involved, period. Like, there's more intensity. There's more drama. There's more sympathy on Cody just because of that little blood. But it only happens. It only works if you're judicious with it. And they were. And they were able to get really the most out of the blood there. I mean, now they got to build it back up again, you know, and save this for hopefully something. You know, it doesn't have to be 4 years. It doesn't have to be like 4 years isn't even enough. It doesn't have to be 10, 12 years down the road. But it can't be next week. It can't be 3 months from now. You know, they have to, you know, wait it out for a while and make sure that the moment that they're using the blood matters most for that particular feud. And here it did. So, I mean, gosh, look at that. 40 minutes has gone by and we've just talked execution. That's how good I thought it was. Overall, like, this felt like less of a wrestling angle that we're going to shoot and more of like a small cinematic story that we want to get the best production out of, but we want it to fit in the framework of WWE's kind of cadence and ecosystem. And it did, which is part of the reason why it was so successful outside of making The Rock, outside of drumming up that sympathy for Cody. You know, it worked for the show and is good, strong artistic execution on television. And it's so refreshing to say that. So refreshing to say that. Zach brings up a nice point here. Rock should have done the semi/ambulance spot that Hogan did to him as an homage to the segment from '02 in that building. Yes. So glad you remembered that. Yes. So in 2002, so 22 years ago, Hogan and The Rock, I just mentioned it, had their little stare off, the first one that they did. And then later in that same show, the NWO takes out Rock and they drive him into like a side of a semi in an ambulance. At the time, you know, that was more of a like more of a rare occurrence. So that it mattered a lot. And it really like kickstarted the Hogan Rock feud. If you want to call it that, it didn't really end as a feud, as we all know, but like this certainly was a spot designed to get heat on Hollywood Hulk Hogan, you know, as he returned to the WWE from the NWO. That's what it was. He drove the semi into the ambulance. That's what it was. Thank you, Zach, for correcting me on that. Appreciate you. Hogan got some heat for that, but not a ton either. I think, you know, Rock could have gotten more. I think they could have taken it a step further, you know, in terms of like how they attacked Cody. So it would have totally worked. It would have been a nice homage. It would have been a nice ode hat tip to that previous angle. I didn't mind that this was just done at the, like, literally at the hands of The Rock. Like, that had some very final boss vibes to it, I guess we could say, right? And it was slow so that you felt each punch. You felt each punch. Like, it was slowly executed, so you felt each time Cody's injured shoulder and chest hit the side of the truck backstage. Like, you felt it. You kind of felt it in your bones after a while. A semi-truck or some kind of crash, like, it definitely would have made for a moment. But I don't know that you wouldn't be able to have like kind of that opportunity to let that all sink in, like these, or feel these, or feel that like you felt the shoulders into the post. So there's definitely an argument for like saying, hey, look, we're going to go all out here. We want like a huge, big backstage accident spot. That's really going to put a ton of heat. And I think they could have done that. This was more of a middle ground approach. We're going to leave opportunity for both. And I still think they hit a home run, even though they didn't tip the hat to the segment 22 years ago. Whew, time flies when you're having fun, guys. My goodness gracious. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks so much for listening. You know me. I love kind of taking deep dives into stuff like this, analyzing execution, analyzing the art, what choices were made, why. And that's definitely going to be part of the show moving forward. Next week, I'm still unsure about the topic that we're going to go with. It's going to be WrestleMania related for sure. But more to come as to what that that topic is. Thanks so much to everybody who joined the show live. If you missed it live, you can check it out on YouTube right now. You can also download it as a podcast. We have a podcast feed for all of our free YouTube content. So go there, check it out, download the show, listen to it at your leisure, at the gym, at the grocery store, on your way to work. You can get us wherever podcasts are found. If you're listening to this and you haven't subscribed on YouTube, shame, shame, shame. Subscribe on YouTube right now and hit that notification button. If you are so inclined, head over to patreon.com/brassringmedia. Okay. That is where you can become a Brassring Media member. And membership is $4. That's it. That's it. $4 a month gets you access to a lot of goodies, including weekly member-only podcasts. You get all of our PLE pay-per-view review shows. You get full access to our written work on Substack, not just the free access. So there's new exclusive member-only columns that go up throughout the week. And then you also get access to our Discord community, which is really cool. All the members hang out there. We talk wrestling, of course. There's a little like watch-along thread that we all kind of watch the shows together with. But we also talk about other things too, and that is exciting. We talk sports, we talk news, we talk entertainment and movies. We cover a lot of topics, so it's an absolute blast. It's like talking wrestling, but not with social media, but not on social media. That's the pitch. Go away from Twitter, engage in wrestling talk on our Discord channel. Check us out. I think you'll be glad that you did. We'll work as hard as we possibly can to earn your business. And it's just a click away. Patreon.com/brassringmedia. Tonight is AEW Dynamite. We'll have you covered with coverage for that on my Twitter feed at Zach_Haydorn. We'll also have coverage on Twitter on the Brass Ring Media handle at @BrassRing_Media. It's Ospreay versus Shibata. Zach, I know you're excited for that one. I'm excited to see it too. We'll be watching that. Follow us in those locations on social media, and we can chat and hang out. Even if you don't decide to join Discord tonight, we can still hang out there. Cool. Thanks once again for joining me, guys. I appreciate it. Tomorrow, 3 Eastern, we'll be live again right here on YouTube with the second of 2 flagship shows, throughout the week. And then late night, tomorrow night, 10 Eastern, Robert Vallejos is back with Nocturnal Knockout. You know that show, been very popular. It's like a sports talk radio way to cover professional wrestling. And Robert does a great job, really entertaining. Don't miss it. Check it out. You'll be happy that you did. Cool. Thanks once again. We'll catch you next time. See you.